And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live and local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Sean Rice, Vice President of Mission Development for the Guadalupe Radio Network. And I've got the great privilege today of hosting, this program. Great to be with all of you this afternoon. You can hear this program every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station. You can also tune in online at grnonline.com or on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app in your app store. You can also catch the re-airing of today's program and past programs by going to our website, that's grnonline.com, and searching in the Listen tab for In His Vineyard. Also, if you're not already part of our local Facebook group, join our South and Central Facebook group and stay current with what's going on locally. Visit GRN colon, that colon symbol there, South and Central TX there in Facebook. And thank you, everyone tuning in from Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and right here in good old San Antonio. We're grateful you've decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. On this program, we try to do a very good job of bringing you a variety of informative discussions, highlighting different people, ministries and apostolates and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. And you're in for a treat today, because on today's program, we're going to be talking about all things Colby Prison Ministry. We'll be speaking with Bill Strain and Kathleen Tong of Colby Prison Ministry about the upcoming Colby Prison Ministry Conference taking place Saturday, July 25th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the St. Paul Catholic Community Center at 1201 Donaldson Avenue here in San Antonio. So that's going to be a great discussion. So before we begin with those conversations, let's get today's program started the way we should do all things, and that is in prayer. And remember, as we pray, ask the Lord to make His will known to you and for the grace to accomplish His will and loving obedience. So assume a posture of prayer and join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and all our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. Mary, Mother of Hope, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So to get you caught up with some of the things going on across the Archdiocese of San Antonio, and there's a lot to get caught up on, the first thing I want to discuss and share with you is the 2026 Fullness of Truth Conference. It's going to be taking place August 21st through the 23rd there at the Hyatt Hill Country Resort. They're on the far west side of town. The theme for this conference is going to be Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Beholding the Evidence of God. Some of the headliners on there, and again, each one of these individuals who are going to be speaking at this conference, I mean, they're a headliner on their own, but so many people to share with you. Chris Stefanik of Real Life Catholic, he's going to be presenting and speaking. Dr. Edward Sree is going to be speaking. He's of the Augustine Institute. Father Carlos Martins, he will be presenting as well. Patty Schneier, I believe that is, and Emily Wilson, Father David Hust. It's just going to be awesome. You know, the Catholic Church has always taught that it is possible, very much possible, to know that God exists on the basis of reason alone. There's a natural desire within each of us to know the reasons behind what we observe and what we believe. And St. Paul specifically mentions this in his letter to the Romans and argues that the pagans are without excuse because God's existence can be known simply by observing the natural world. Well, That and so much more is going to be the topic of discussion over the 3 days. Again, the 21st, the 22nd, and the 23rd at the Hyatt Hill Country Resort. Visit fullnessoftruth.org to get registered. There's also going to be a benefit dinner taking place that Saturday evening where Chris Stefanik is going to be the keynote speaker. Go to fullnessoftruth.org/SA26. And if I'm not mistaken, this is actually their 20th conference here in the San Antonio area. And if I do say so myself, it's been told to me on more than one occasion that this tends to be their best conference ever. So show up in a big way, dear listeners. It's going to be awesome. And of course, I got to mention the St. Bonaventure Parish Festival. Father Abel out there, Father Abel Ruiz and his wonderful parish out there is hosting this year's Parish Festival, St. Bonaventure Festival, on July 18th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's July 18th. Mass will take place at 9:30 a.m. and all the fun will begin there July 18th. After that, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at St. Bonaventure Catholic Church. Visit stbonaventuresa.org for more information. And also, as soon as I get through, another one of these here, I want to talk about the Marian Conference this year. July 24th through the 25th, a two-day conference, Friday and Saturday, generously hosted and put on by our great friends there at the Pilgrim Center of Hope. Another, awesome lineup of speakers. Our Lady of Champion, U.S. Marian Apparitions, going to be discussed. Archbishop, His Excellency, Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra will be celebrating Mass out there. It's going to be amazing. That's going to be taking place at the Boeing Center at Techport. So for more information on that, visit motherofhopeconference.com. That's motherofhopeconference.com. And check out this amazing lineup of individuals who are going to be presenting on all things Marian. So, and of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about this, especially with our special guest, the 2026 Colby Prison Ministry Annual Conference taking place on July 25th. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Guest speakers will include Bishop Gary Yannick, Father Mitch Pacwa, Father Alejandro Ortega, and TDCJ Chief Programs Officer Jason Clark, in a special panel discussion with formerly incarcerated and active Colby volunteers. So go to kpm-conference2026.eventbrite.com. This is going to be taking place at the St. Paul Catholic Community Center at 1201 Donaldson Avenue here in San Antonio. And with that, I got to come up for air, folks. Man, that was a lot of stuff. So again, please visit those websites. If you got any additional questions, you can certainly reach out to me. But we are going to go ahead and kick off this conversation now with our guests. I've got Ms. Kathleen Tong and Mr. Bill Strain of Colby Prison Ministry. Folks, how are y'all doing today? And again, how awesome is that opportunity to talk about all the good work that y'all are doing?
We're doing great today. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank excellent. You. Well, I guess let me start off by this. I'll first direct my first question to Bill. Bill, you've been with Colby Prison Ministry for a time now. Could you just share and tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your history in coming on board with the Colby Prison Ministry? Let's start there. What do you say?
Okay. I had my first experience with Colby in 2019. I got to go on a men's retreat at the Torres Unit in Hondo, Texas. And then, of course, COVID hit, so we had to take a break from retreats and our ministry. But soon thereafter, I got involved and was a volunteer for several more retreats. And then about a year and a half ago, I joined what we call our core group, and we kind of oversee what's happening in the San Antonio Archdiocese with regard to Colby. And this January, I became president of the Colby Group, and I'll serve a two-year.
Lucky you, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I'll serve a two-year term. We have a great, great group of people with a lot of experience with Colby that are on our group, so it's very helpful to me. And it's just a real blessing to have to work with them.
Amen. And again, Ms. Kathleen, I'd love to introduce you to our listeners. You and I have spoken in the past. I know when I first came on with GRN back in 2021, that was actually one of the first events that I had a great pleasure of attending and setting up a table out there. But, you know, let's talk about your own history, because you've been there from the very beginning, right?
Well, not for the beginning of Colby, but for me, I was started with an invitation from a priest that needed some assistance in administrative duties. So I'm approaching it, not even in my wheelhouse. And it led on to another volunteer inviting me to go into the unit to do what I formed in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. So from there on, this was just started back in about 2019. It just led to the next steps, which I became an active member of the Colby core team.
Mm-hmm.
About the same time, I was then invited to be on the board of directors. So I'm serving on my final year of the Colby Prison Ministries Board of Directors, and I chair the ongoing Faith Formation Committee, which is a very big responsibility as far as going into a unit once we've served them with a retreat. We don't like to leave them hanging.
Right.
And then from there, I also have become a certified volunteer chaplain assistant with TDCJ. So that gives me full access to the entire unit, and I work for the chaplain mm-hmm. on that unit. So
now,
a lot of fingers in them.
Yeah, so let me – so when you say TDCJ, we're talking about the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so if you could share with us, what is Colby Prison Ministry? What is that mission, right? And let's talk about, what that looks like now. I mean, what do you say?
Well, originally it started back in 2009, and the intent with the guys from the Hill Country was to bring the agape love into the prisons. That was one of the big gaps in the Catholics, bringing the Catholic faith in. And they, in their wisdom, saw the need to make it an ecumenical invitation. So when they created those retreats, they start with any faith or no faith is welcome to attend. And then it was a completely Catholic retreat and from start to finish. And so once you see how those tend to create these incredible conversion experiences
yeah.
of men, then it just progressed on. We started finding out that we needed to become more organized in a way that's administratively approved by the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, that led to the approvals and statutes and bylaws and getting approved for the Catholic catalog.
Yeah, I think that's just amazing work that y'all do, because, in the gospel, right? In the gospel, I can't recall. I think it was one of the works of mercy, right? That we are called. I believe it's Matthew 25, where he identifies himself with those in need, right? And we're called to visit the imprisoned. Bill, if I can ask you, how does Colby Prison Ministry, really live out that that work of mercy, in visiting the imprisoned, being present for our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated, yes, for whatever bad decisions have been made, but the fact is they're still our brothers and sisters in Christ, in this body of Christ. How does Colby Prison Ministry continue to be present to them as called for in the gospel?
So the main thing that we do is we hold retreats at each of the units. So it's typically a 3-day retreat, made up of outside team members, inside team members of incarcerated, and then participants or retreatants who come from the unit. So we go in and give a 3-day retreat with talks, and like Kathleen mentioned, it's very Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
We have an agape. We do lots of things. I don't want to give you too much
sure.
detail.
Sure, sure.
And from that, men have conversion experiences, or they have an interest maybe into come back to their Catholic faith, or possibly have a whole conversion experience and they want to become Catholic. And so at all the units, we have OCIA programs, and then the men funnel into an OCI program. And from there, they either complete their sacraments if they were raised Catholic, or they get all their sacraments through OCIA and become Catholic. And what's also kind of neat is that we have the bishops of San Antonio who come in and administer the sacraments. Mm-hmm. So these men get to experience that. And so part of the OCIA program, a lot of us outside volunteers also come in to help facilitate or participate in those programs. So you're not only going to be active on a retreat, you might come in later and also help them with their weekly OCIA programs. And you develop relationships with these men.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really neat is that if you look at their lives and you put yourself in their shoes and you wonder where you would be if you were raised in that kind of environment that they were raised in, where would you be? And I think it kind of puts things in perspective with regard to what our mission is. These are brothers just like you and me, right? They're not. They've made some mistakes,
mm-hmm.
but they're just like you and me. When you get to talk to them, they have same concerns for their family
mm-hmm.
and their faith. And their faith is incredibly strong once they've come off the retreat. It's pretty amazing to see.
Now, that's great stuff. And, you know, I want to ask you, Ms. Kathleen, because here, you know, Bill is talking about maybe the point of view from the men, right? But there's an equal need there too for the women. Can you share, you know, what that was like for you in getting involved, what that was like for you into saying yes? Because I would have to think, you know, and I'm sure it's a question that most people, you know, tuning in today, have, you know, some of the concerns. Is this safe? You know, what does this look like? You know, so from the point of view, you know, with the women too, could you speak about your own experience? Because I know you've served on these retreats. What was that attitude for you personally, you know, prior to saying yes and given that act of faith in serving?
Well, there's two points to the question. In Colby, with the men's retreat, only a man can serve on that men's retreat.
Mm-hmm.
A woman would serve on a women's retreat. However, the role of a woman as far as ongoing faith formation can be men or women.
Mm-hmm.
So I am active in the Kennedy, Texas unit called Conley, which is a maximum security men's unit. And I've been in there since 2019.
Wow.
And I do not even hesitate to tell you how safe I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you walk in, if you're walking in faith, that's great. If you're walking in fear, that's probably very normal. But within a few minutes of arriving and meeting the people that, and I'm not talking about the officers and the chaplain, I'm talking about the inmates,
mm-hmm.
you realize that is a brother right there. It has a whole nother face that often gets smeared in society. And I was probably chief of that, you know. I didn't know about that human side until mm-hmm. I got there. And the piece that really changed it for me was I had sort of an ego when I walked in thinking, I'm going to do them a favor. I'm coming in to faith formation, blah, blah, blah. And the minute I sat down with these guys and started talking to them, immediately I felt the presence of brotherhood.
Yeah.
I felt like they were so endeared and respectful and happy that I'd spent the time with them. It actually transformed me probably just as much as them.
Sure.
And then to speak to the other piece about women's retreats, the way that is handled, because in the diocese, we do not have a TDCJ female correctional unit. We do have a county unit that has females, and we support that one. But most of the female prisons that are run by TDCJ come out of the Diocese of Austin. And so we have been in those prisons, but we've actually expanded outside the state. Most recently, we're in Kansas. And we have a mission team that comes out of Louisiana, was made up of a lot of the Baton Rouge folks.
Well, that music means we are going to take a quick break. Put a pin in that, Ms. Kathleen. We're going to continue this conversation just as soon as we come back. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere. Keep tuning in.
Fullness of Truth invites you to their exciting 20th annual Family Summer Conference titled Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Beholding the Evidence of God at the newly renovated Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Villas. This will take place August 21st to the 23rd. Speakers include Chris Stefanik, Dr. Edward Shree, Father Carlos Martins, Father Ken Geraci, and music by Dave and Lauren Moore. For tickets, schedule, and more information, visit fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org.
This is a Messy Family Minute from Mike and Alicia Hernan. The deepest desire for many of us as parents is to pass on the faith to our children. And to do that, parents need to be very intentional. First, we need to look at ourselves and live our faith authentically, because more is caught than taught. Most kids, especially teens, sense hypocrisy quickly. So we need to live a life of humility by asking for forgiveness, acting with charity, and loving generously.
Next, create a unified Catholic culture in your family. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. So we cannot be afraid to be countercultural. And last, don't protect children from every failure, because suffering brings maturity. We need to remember that Christ promised us the cross, but he also promised to be with us every step of the way. When we teach this to our children, we are guiding them into mature faith in Christ, who will satisfy all the longing of their hearts.
For more information and resources, visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.
Hi, this is Colby Prison Ministries volunteer Ed Heppner. Have you ever wondered how faith can transform lives behind prison walls? Join us for the 2026 Colby Prison Ministries Annual Conference on Saturday, July 25th at St. Paul Community Center in San Antonio. Hear inspiring presentations from Bishop Jerry Yannick, Father Mitch Pacwa, and Father Alejandro Trillo Ortega. Experience powerful testimony from current prison ministry volunteers and formerly incarcerated men whose lives have been transformed through faith, hope, and mercy. Whether you're called to serve inside prison walls or support the mission from the outside, this conference is for you. Go to Colby Prison Ministries to register and learn how you can help bring Christ's love and hope to those impacted by incarceration.
And welcome back, folks, to your live and local program, In His Vineyard. I'm Sean Rice. I serve as Guadalupe Radio Network's Vice President of Mission Development. Got the great pleasure of hosting today's program. Thank you for joining us as we continue this conversation about the Colby Prison Ministries. Before we went to the break, Ms. Kathleen Tong, was sharing with us, about the experiences out in Louisiana. I'd like to pick up there, Ms. Kathleen.
Well, we were talking about mission retreats for women, and a mission retreat for both is basically where we go into a diocese for the first time. We've been invited by the bishop to bring the ministry inside the units there. We've gotten approvals through the Department of Corrections, etc. Well, what part of our team, because Louisiana is also part of Colby Prison Ministries, there's a group of women there, and the way that would work is they find the team of the unit we're going into, and we start meeting about 6 weeks prior to the actual retreat. It has a good, strong 20 to 30 minutes of faith formation building with each other, and you're doing it via Zoom calls, because obviously you're in two different places. The group is built out into different areas or sections of responsibilities, and they start sharing with each other, so that when we go to the actual destination, the women of the new team is meeting the women of the seasoned team, and everybody knows their role, so that once we leave, they can continue on the retreats on their own and continue the format that we ask for and put together the support that they need in order to actually convene the retreat. So there's a lot of preparation that goes in. Mm-hmm. But mainly this mission team teaches the folks that want to be on the team how we do operate,
yeah,
how spiritually we are connected, and that it's not just a logistics event. It's a true conversion for both the outside team and the inside team.
You know, if I can ask, and again, either one of you, maybe Bill, maybe I'll direct this question to you first, but I know with Colby, there are other non-Catholic prison ministries that exist and such. How does Colby, differ from those? And more importantly, though, I guess, how many of these retreats do y'all put on throughout the year?
So our retreats obviously are 100% Catholic. And we have typically, at most of the units, you hold two retreats a year. So I'll pick Torres and Hondo as an example.
Okay.
We do one in the spring and one in the fall. And the makeup of the team is, like I said, the outside members are typically 20 or so of those, same number on the inside team. And then we typically at that unit have 40 retreatants.
Wow.
So so the way they get selected is that the inside team advertises, if you will, within the unit about the retreat coming up, and they submit their name.
Sure.
And of course, there's more than 40 names that are put into the hat, if you will. And then we draw names randomly for each of the subunits within the prison. And that's how we come up with our retreatants. And of course, then they have to be approved by the warden. And there's a whole different process there. So it's very...
It's very much like, and as soon as you said it, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's very much like the Holy Spirit's calling that person. I mean, this is completely random. You're drawing names, and that individual is selected to attend one of these things. Yes. Is that how y'all see it, too?
Yes, very much so. We definitely believe the Holy Spirit is present in that process. It's pretty incredible the way that it's done. When you mentioned the Holy Spirit, and I mentioned to you when we came in earlier about things that happen that aren't always on the schedule.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is always present on these retreats. And if you just keep that in mind as you're going through these retreats, you realize what a special, special place and event that it is.
Amen. Ms. Kathleen, if I can ask you, what are some of the misconceptions that people tend to have when it comes to ministering to those that are incarcerated?
Well, I do believe that sometimes we enter and we don't realize what contributed to their incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I can honestly say is it makes me very, very humble by how blessed I was with my family.
Mm-hmm.
The family unit has so much to contribute to positive or negatively to what we see. The other thing that I would tell you is that because I can speak mainly about the men more so than the women.
Sure.
When you walk in there and you see that these men are very devoted and honest about their relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
and they're serious about it to the point that the guys that I've worked with for years, they know their brothers and they love their brothers, whether they're bad. You know, their brothers would be maybe a silly, mm-hmm. or their brother might be on their pod, and their brother might act out about certain things. But they know them inside and out, and they will be the first to defend them as far as for forgiveness and ask that they, be prayed for, or he's going through a rough patch because he lost his son in a car wreck and, things like that. They're very compassionate. You never would anticipate that when you walk in thinking these are hardened criminals.
Right.
But if you just take for a minute a pause and think about what and God has brought you there to see that you needed to see or hear, as opposed to what you're going to do for them, and all of a sudden, you'll realize that this world is way bigger than your little protected vision. And when you start watching how people interact with each other that are confined day in and day out, and there is so much remorse for their victim, and that's one of the things that you don't really put in your perspective, because there's so much harshness about what they've done. And I'm not telling you that there's not some really hard lessons of actions there. Mm-hmm. There's some tough stuff. I would say that the piece that really affected me most was how often and constant and loud they pray for their victims and ask for that forgiveness and really want to reconcile that, because it's also taken a part out of, you know, that's not in your nature as a human. God didn't create that peace. And so they have to get through that, both through reconciliation, which they are, so many of them lined up for reconciliation every week. It won't go to communion until they go to reconciliation. I mean, it's heartwarming to see that piece of it. And you just don't expect it until you start really recognizing the dignity and seeing dignity restored in somebody that's been totally dehumanized. Oh my gosh, some of the things that they've experienced in their childhood that led to their adulthood.
Sure.
It's really hard to get past some of that, to say, I get it.
Yeah.
Don't explain it and don't make excuse for it.
Right.
But you do understand it, you know?
Well, you know, you hit that part, in fact, about the excuses, right? And then, again, in no way should that be, those are excuses. But you know the true impact of a fatherless home. You know the true impact of a broken family, right? Now, obviously, there's many of us out there that maybe grew up in those circumstances, but each one grows up differently. But no, I appreciate you sharing that. Bill, I would ask, for you, as Ms. Kathleen was talking about, some of those things that maybe, some of these misconceptions or so, and some of these aspects of individuals within, could you speak to us about, what that impact is like on, on those who serve on these retreats, on the family, on those who love these individuals who are incarcerated? How do these Kobe Prison Ministry retreats, what's that overall impact on everybody involved, who serve as a volunteer, who serve on team, and the family? What's that like?
So, when you think about serving, you're going in to serve Christ, serve the brothers in white, as we call them, in these prison systems. And you're doing something for them. You're bringing the Holy Spirit, helping bring the Holy Spirit into the unit. And you hope that there's change in these men. But invariably, the change also occurs in us as servants. And that's really neat to see. As Kathleen mentioned, you kind of open your eyes to what's really the inside part of these men, and what they're truly like. Yes, they've committed a crime, but they're also men who need our love, and that's what we bring to them. We bring agape love to these men, and it changes not only, hopefully, the men on the inside, but it changes us on the outside as well.
I love how you say that, because what I was going to ask next for Ms. Kathleen maybe is that, what would you say to someone who thinks people in prison are beyond redemption? You've got individuals like that, they did the crime, they should do the time. How do you change hearts?
Well, I think it also is coming on us to embrace that question with total humility and look in memory of splinter and beam.
Yeah,
why do you point to the splinter in someone else's eye? You have your beam in your own. Your beam may not look like that. Your beam could be a financial issue. It could be just self-serving, lack of strong character for your family. It could be any number of things. And I can't tell you that, I don't know how God's judging that, but I figure he looks at the whole person. He knows the heart. And, if he's looking at our heart, then sometimes that lip action of they got what they deserved can actually look in the mirror kind of thing.
Yeah.
And while they might be changing the hard way, Are we changing on the outside in the free world the same way? Are we embracing all the priorities that keeps God number one or at least higher than number three?
Yeah.
I mean, in society, that's really difficult. In the unit, there's a lot of good and bad going on simultaneously. I mean, you've still got some of the biggest gangs in the world running businesses and things like that. It's hard to overcome. But the group that we are embracing and that is embracing us and welcoming us have the desire to be part of the community, to be part of an identity that is relatable to other people. Mm-hmm. And what you notice in that change of that individual is that they're coming to us. And when I started, we didn't have a whole lot of men coming to Mass. And now, you know, to have 18 to 20 people we usually get 55 at a retreat, and you have these guys coming in and say, no, I want to go ahead and learn more about the Catholic Church, finish the OCIA preparation, come celebrate the sacraments, 20 guys. Those 20 guys then go on, and we celebrate my unit mystagogy an extended period because that is key in order for them to come back. They're now facilitators of the faith. They are in there not only in the time that we have the chapel, they go back to their house or their pod. The pod is made up of a series of cells that they may, or depending on what pod they're on or what building they're in, have a roomie. Those roomies, they're leading Liturgy of the Hours 4 and 5 times a day.
Wow.
Now, you go to the free world, and that person who asked that same question, tell me, is that person also sharing his love of the word that way?
Wow.
And then that really puts in perspective the people that are the naysayers, because they aren't getting kudos by every brother in that pod for leading Liturgy of the Hours. But what happens is then those people start coming because it's a prayer time.
Right.
The next thing I know, they're coming into my open call Mass. And the next thing I know, they're asking me for an I-60 so they can sign up for OCIA to start learning more about the faith. So it's not something that happens overnight. This is a long journey. But many of the guys that I deal with will be there the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Many of them have already served 27 years, and they don't have a possibility for parole for 20. And they're maybe 40 years old, 50 years old. That's a long time to think about what you've done and live it over and over and have to live with people that may or may not be in that environment. And you get excited when they want to make that jail or that pod a monastery.
Yeah.
And when you see that kind of enlightenment, where, as a matter of fact, tab on the O conference coming up, some of the artwork that we're going to have for the raffle were done by the inmates. In particular, I know of three of the pieces. This gentleman just came into the church in December of last year, and he has not missed a formation class. He goes back, he prays with all the guys in his line. He has been like this since the Colby retreat.
Yeah.
So you're watching this growth transfer. All of these other men as well, or transform these other men as well. So.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate that very thorough, explanation and answer with that. You know, as you're talking, and the both of you are saying some awesome things here, but all of it kind of, for me, as I'm listening, I'm sure our listeners are, tuning in right now, they can kind of catch this also, but you're very much rebuilding and upholding the dignity of the person. Like you said, there's, these individuals, these brothers and sisters, in white, they're behind, these closed cell doors and whatnot. They've gone through a ton of things and whatnot, but it's easy to kind of forget about them, right? But in coming in to show that love that, A, they probably have never experienced before for whatever, and to show that, this love that we are sharing with them, this agape love, that self-sacrificing love that Jesus showed us on the cross, it exists. and it exists still for every one of them. Man, I can't wait to continue this conversation. Folks, don't change the station. We will be right back.
Fullness of Truth invites you to their exciting 20th annual Family Summer Conference titled Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Beholding the Evidence of God at the newly renovated Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Villas. This will take place August 21st to the 23rd. Friday night kicks off with music and dance lessons with Buzz and the Blue Cats. Speakers include Chris Stefanik, Dr. Edward Shree, Father Carlos Martins, and Father Ken Geraci. For tickets, schedule, and more information, visit fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org.
Hi, I'm Father Mike Driscoll, and I am excited to be co-hosting This Spirit World along with Debbie Giorgiani every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. We are exploring the strange and wonderful world of angels, demons, saints, mystical experiences, miracles, sacraments, and even our own souls and relationships. Call in, ask us your questions, and tell us your stories. I'm Father Mike Driscoll, and I can't wait to hear from you on The Spirit World.
This is Kathleen Tong with Colby Prison Ministries. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for the 2026 Colby Prison Ministries Annual Conference on Saturday, July 25th at St. Paul Community Center in San Antonio. Come hear inspiring presentations from Bishop Gary Yonick, Father Mitch Pacwa, and Father Alejandro Trillo. You also experience powerful testimony from prison ministry volunteers and formerly incarcerated men whose lives have been transformed through faith, hope, and the love of Christ. Whether you're interested in serving inside a correctional facility or supporting the mission from the outside, there is a place for you in this ministry. Visit ColbyPrisonMinistries.org to register today. That's K-O-L-B-E. PrisonMinistries.org to register.
And welcome back, folks, to your live and local program in His Vineyard. We're in the last segment. My name is Sean Rice. I serve as Vice President of Mission Development for the GRN. Having this great, program, interview, discussion, if you will, with Miss Kathleen Tong and Bill Strain of Colby Prison Ministry. And I really, I want to ask just this last question before we really start talking about how people can get involved, how people can help, all right, and really talking about this upcoming conference. So, Bill, you were speaking before, we had gone to break. I want to ask you, with all of these, things that the retreatants, the incarcerated, individuals who attend these retreats, what's that follow up? I mean, we heard, about, some of the prayer teams, the OCIA. What's that follow up like? How do you keep in conversation? I mean, what does that look like so you can actually see the progress, that these individuals are making?
So at the end of the retreat, the leaders of the inside team will actually speak about the programs that unit has.
Okay.
So the primary one would be OCIA, and I'll keep speaking about Toros because that's where most of my experience is.
Sure.
They also have other religious education classes, if you will. They have mm-hmm. Bible studies, Catholic Bible studies that go on different days during the week. So they encourage these men that just experience these retreats to either join the OCIA or at least come and hear about it and or become involved in these other religious education programs. And so that's kind of how the process starts, and then it grows from there. And Kathleen mentioned these pods. It's incredible what these guys do that are already Catholic and are on fire for their faith and how they reach out to these men in their pods. And they actually have their own little gathering sometimes if they can't go to the chapel, if you will, to do certain things. So the inside men who are part of a Catholic council maybe that they formed in that unit, they're the ones that really speak to the other inmates and encourage them on their walk with Christ in their Catholic faith.
Golly, that is just amazing. You know, I really appreciate that the both of you, you know, sharing a lot of this. And I really want to talk about now, you know, our upcoming, you know, conference. But I also want to talk about the many ways that people can help. I would think that, you know, with individuals, maybe they want to get involved, but maybe there's that hesitancy to go inside a prison. You know, Ms. Kathleen, can you share, you know, how people can get involved with this amazing apostolate, with this amazing work, if maybe there's that hesitation to actually visit on site?
Well, there's several ways they can do that. One, TDCJ, if you go to tdcj.gov, you can see that they offer different types of training. And one is for letter writing and pen, being a pen pal to an inmate. There's always ongoing faith formation where we're looking for volunteers. You don't have to be knowledgeable of your faith. You just go in with the ministry of presence, sit next to the men at Mass, anything like that. You don't really have to do anything else outside of that. You can also provide meals for these retreats that we do, because those are a priority, and it's very expensive for us to be feeding usually 120 to 125 people per retreat. Oh. So when you add the cost of that on top of what we're doing to get the retreat, and by the way, the volunteers who go in contribute. They do not go as a volunteer for free. And we have some scholarship, but for the most part, they're paying to be a volunteer for that retreat. Daily prayer, if they have at their church, use altar cloths or liturgical colored banners and things like that. We celebrate Mass in every unit in this diocese. And while we have to do makeshift altars and things like that, anything that helps to make the environment more holy and reverent is, mm-hmm. is used like that. And primarily, this one is a big one. We need donations terribly bad for hygiene. Many of the men, and I'm sure some women across the state, are indigent. And what that means is they have qualified by TDCJ that they cannot support themselves. And there's not a job that they can hold physically, typically, inside the unit to earn money. Mm-hmm. And they clearly don't have family support or anything like that.
Yeah.
They need soap. They need toothpaste. They need deodorant. Those are the top three items that they need. And they need it urgently, especially in the summertime. I can speak to the Conley unit. The way that they can get those donations is at their parish. Establish prison ministry as an ministry inside your parish.
Yeah.
And then reach out to Colby. Go to our website, colbyprisonministries.org, and let us know that you have people that would like to volunteer for specific roles. We'll help them get on their way. We'll connect them with the right people, see if there's any certifications that are required. But more importantly, if they want to raise money and say, we want to donate hygiene kits to a particular unit, we'll help put them in touch with the people that they need to be in touch with. At the Conley unit right now, they can contact the chaplain at the Conley unit and tell them that they want to donate. And we're talking 2,500 men, typically 400 are indigent.
Yeah.
And this is a monthly thing.
Yeah.
This isn't just one time and you're done.
Right.
So if they can just cover 1 month and we can find 12 parishes to do that,
yeah.
we got one unit that we can take care of the indigent. That doesn't even take care of everybody.
Yeah.
But we can always give them all that information. But it's the Conley unit, Kennedy, Texas, and call the chaplain.
No, that's great stuff, because a lot of times, you know, people are more prone to, let's say, share of their, you know, their treasures, you know, if they can't share of their time and talents. But we're called to share time, talent, and our treasures. And how awesome would that be if people can at least do that? And it would have such a great impact for sure. And where would people go to see how they can give that way?
There's two ways.
Uh-huh.
They can go ahead and go on Amazon and send soap, small deodorant, mm-hmm. and or toothpaste, the small things, the plastic toothpaste, to the mailroom at the Conley unit via Amazon. They can just have it directly shipped there. Or they can contact the chaplain at the Conley Unit in Kennedy, Texas.
So Conley Unit in Kennedy, Texas, and then would that apply the same way for the Torres unit that you were talking about, Bill, earlier?
It can. We actually did a fundraiser at our parish last November for the Torres unit itself and dispensed the hygiene kits at that unit.
Gotcha.
So each unit may be dealt a little differently, but all the units are in need of these types of things.
And 101 units in Texas.
Wow. Now, in the remaining minutes and moments that we have, we've covered a lot. If somebody wants to give, is it easy for them to just contact Colby Prison Ministry too, if that's the one thing that sticks in their mind, in fact?
Go to www.colbyprisonministries.org. And there is a contact button.
Gotcha.
Just leave the message in there, and they'll distribute it to the correct person. Or have me call them. A lot of times I call back, and we can respond to whatever their question are.
Perfect. And that's Colby, K-O-L-B-E, named after the patron saint of Colby Prison Ministries is Saint Maximilian Colby. That's K-O-L-B-E, prisonministries.org. I have to talk about, the upcoming, conference. So we've got the 2026 Colby Prison Ministry Annual Conference taking place on July 25th. Let's talk about some of the speakers and let's talk about what that day looks like for those tuning in, Ms. Kathleen.
Also the same website to click there, and they can register right through the website for that. I was going to say that just ahead of time. It's easier to do it that way. But we have a great lineup of speakers. Alejandro Ortega Trio. Uh-huh. I get that name right. He, by the way, is the chaplain now assigned by the Archdiocese. He goes to every single unit and celebrates Mass, hears confessions. But he is also a scholar and author, and he's going to be giving one of our keynote speeches very first thing on Saturday morning. We also have the TDCJ Chief Programs Officer, Jason Clark. Now, it might sound a little vague, but Jason is responsible for a huge part of everything that goes on from chaplaincy to volunteers to communications to all the programs. So when we want to implement OCIA in a unit, we have to go through TDCJ to get certain programs approved. If we wanted to do a new apostolate there, we go to him to get these things approved. He was key in doing a statistical analytics on recidivism. And used a lot of Colby, and he is a very big supporter of Colby and what we've done for recidivism. So he'll bring a lot of that dynamic into the talk. Father Mitch Pacwa, who is a very famous name, and he's a linguist. I mean, 12 languages, whatever he knows. But he also was invited to go to the Ferguson unit, which is just south diocese of Tyler, but served us out of Houston area. And the Ferguson unit was the very first unit they actually streamlined into the SEG and ADSEG with the warden support TVs where they could watch the Colby retreat. And Father Mitch was there. So he's been with us since day one, 2009, and he's going to talk about his experiences of going to a Colby retreat and as a priest. And I'm sure he will give us quite the imagery of what's taking place there. And, of course, we have our beloved Bishop Yannick, and he has always supported us. He's the reason we're in the catalog. Yeah. So he will speak on the theme of this conference. So we've got and not to put the volunteers and the formerly incarcerated volunteers that we have to bed, but that's going to be a really cool platform for the audience to exchange questions about what it was like as a volunteer or what it was like now that you've come out, things like that. So you're going to get a pretty rounded opinion, and there's many more jobs, that we can do. The deacon, Adrian Cepeda, the director of criminal justice, he has a ton of things, prison ministry from reentry to rehabilitation, to supporting families of incarcerated. So there's a lot of places for people to get involved.
And when you say catalog, we're talking about the official Catholic directory.
That's correct.
Yes, how about that? Bill, with just a minute or so remaining, does someone have to have past prison ministry experience to be part of this?
No, they do not. Anyone can come in and serve, especially if the Holy Spirit's speaking to them. If they've served on an Acts team, it probably helps because they understand how Acts works. And although our retreats aren't exactly like Acts, they're very similar. Sure. But anyone that feels called can come serve. And, you know, if they're wondering whether they should answer that call, they should come to our conference and they can get a very well-rounded experience about what that ministry looks like, the people involved. They can do one-on-one conversations with us and other volunteers that'll be there and learn more about the conference.
Well, again, I can't thank you both enough for all the wonderful information that you've shared with us today. Again, folks, this is the 2026 Colby Prison Ministries Annual Conference taking place July 25th. That is a Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You don't have to have previous prison ministry experience to do this, but I tell you what, if the Lord's tugging at your heart and you want to learn more and you want to see how you can become more involved in reaching out, ministering, being present to our brothers and sisters in white, what better way than the Colby Prison Ministries to be able to do that? Taking place July 25th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the St. Paul Catholic Community Center at 1201 Donaldson Avenue in San Antonio, Texas. Visit Colby, that's K-O-L-B-E, Ministries, Prison Ministries, excuse me, ColbyPrisonMinistries.org. And I want to make sure, it's .org. So, Ms. Kathleen, thank you so very much. Bill, thank you so very much. And again, that music means that we are done for today. I can't thank you both enough. And again, dear listeners, if you aren't following the Facebook group, the South and Central Texas Facebook group yet, go to GRN:South and Central Texas on Facebook and follow us on all socials. God bless y'all. And we'll see you soon.
Shining the light of truth on the path of salvation. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
You're invited to find hope and make history at Mother of Hope Marian Conference in San Antonio, Texas, to learn about the Blessed Virgin Mary, hear national speakers, receive spiritual tools, music, vendors, exhibits, and more. Don't miss it. Friday, July 24th through Saturday, July 25th. Register now at motherofhopeconference.com or call 210-521-3377.
The St. John Leadership Network presents Glance at the Gospel with Father Nathan Cromley.
In this Sunday's Gospel, our Lord gives us a word of comfort. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. When hearing that gospel, most of us feel consoled. Isn't it wonderful to hear that our Lord understands the real burdens that we carry in our lives? But what's more, he offers us a remedy. He tells us to learn from him, for he is meek and humble of heart. How is being meek and humble a remedy for being burdened and beaten down by life? You would think that our Lord instead would exhort us towards being strong and stoic, or exhort us in lessons of confidence and self-assertion. But instead, he urges us to become meek and humble like him. The secret to maintaining our inner peace amidst the drudgeries and difficulties of life comes from the abiding presence of God in our life. God has us in his hands. He walks beside us on the dusty roads of life. He understands and empathizes with us, and he wants us to walk with him. The beautiful fact of Christianity is that we are never alone, that our Savior and our God is with us, and he is for us. The Christian heart is a heart that is in love, and since we are in love, we surrender ourselves into the hands of the one whom we love. Trusting in Jesus is the key. When we trust in Jesus, we become meek, and humble. And what's more, we become free. Free from how other people judge us or think of us. We become stronger than the world around us because of the one who is within us, the one who died for us.
For more information, go to www.stjohnleadershipnetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio on the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul.
Catholic radio for your soul.
Heard also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.